Amen.
I think it's probably 95% not in church. As it's just keeps going further and further away. Turning by open your Bibles to James chapter 3.
Things that we do in life, this is a great struggle for us all.
Now, for you preachers and teachers in here, I want you to look back to verse 1. This is just a quick little sermon within a sermon. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Translated, that verse simply says, don't strive to have a bunch of teachers. Because the teachers, which are the preachers, our deacons, our Sunday school teachers, it says, shall receive the greater condemnation. Actually, it's a stricter judgment.
Mm-hmm. Divine standard, yeah.
That's a divine standard set for those who are going to preach God's word, who are going to teach God's word. It doesn't matter if you're a Sunday school teacher. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher. It doesn't matter if you're a deacon. It doesn't matter if you are a church member and you're talking to someone about God. You better make sure that you're telling them the truth.
Amen.
Because as a teacher of the Word of God, you are responsible for telling the truth. And you will be held to a stricter standard than anyone else. That's a sermon.
That's good, brother.
That's Amen. A sermon within a sermon. So yeah. It's a
very good point.
And it said, and I've got written here, said, even those who stand to preach and teach the truth of God's word struggle with the tongue and its unruliness. The tongue is a struggle for everyone. Everyone. Don't think that Brother Darrell, because he's called by God to be a preacher, be a pastor, or Brother Bob to be a deacon and a teacher, that they don't struggle with the tongue as well. But what I just read to you is that they are also, and myself, are held to a stricter standard than anyone else. Because you're preaching and teaching the Word of God. You have to know what you're saying. You see, some people go out there and they say, "I think I'll just become a preacher." Well, you better know what you're getting into. Because God's standing up there watching you and saying, "Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Where does that say that in my word?" You start telling falsehoods and lies and stuff like that and not interpreting God's word right and not speaking the words that God has, He's going to hold you accountable. So, like I said, that's just a sermon within a sermon to show that even no matter who you are, it's a struggle with the tongue. I had a pastor one time who told a story about he was at work and got his hand scratched. And it hurt really bad. And he let out an expletive that you would not expect to hear a pastor or preacher say. Which is understandable. He's human. But the admiration for him is what he did afterwards. He went back to every single person who heard that and apologized for his language.
Amen.
Now, can you say, "Well, they're not gonna forget what he said"? No, they're not. And he didn't go into great detail about what he said, but they're also not going to forget that he felt bad about it, went back and apologized. Each one of them, "I'm sorry that I said that you had to hear me say it." So you see, it doesn't matter. This man was a wonderful, wonderful man of God. But it doesn't matter who we are or what our position in the church is, whether we're the piano player, whether we're sitting in the back of a clean church, we struggle with the tongue.
Yes.
Just like the rest of the world does. No doubt about that. I mean, I've hit my hand a few times before and said, "God forgive me." I'm glad nobody was here to hear that. Confess. It's the truth.
Yeah.
And you, sure many of you have been walking along and stumped your toe, or your children or grandchildren did or said something that made your head just about explode. Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. So it's the tongue, as James says here, it is a struggle for everyone, but the problem is if we don't try to control it, how can we justify blessing God and saying, oh, what a Savior, and then call this person over here, you stupid idiot, or person. And then many of you know that I drive a truck, and I think Brother Philip still drives a truck, and all of y'all, most everybody in here drives except for maybe one or two. And you have people out there on the road who do stuff to you, and your eyeball, you get so mad, your eyeball's not popping.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Right, Brother Bub? God bless you! Right? But we don't always feel that way. And sometimes, whenever we have something like that come along, it's hard to control the tongue. That's when this little beast that is in here rears up its ugly head and its fangs and starts showing out, and everybody knows it. Right? It's a very uncontrollable thing. Well, the tongue is a struggle for everyone. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how close you are to God. It's a struggle for everyone. Now, think about this. Think about how you hold your tongue around a small child. As you know, they mimic how you talk, and you don't want them to learn bad language. When we've got a small child, even 5, 6 years old or whatever, especially at that age when they're starting to learn how to talk and put together sentences and say words, you bite your tongue. The best thing we can do is bite it and let it know, hey, we're still in control here. Right? We try to control our tongue. And believe me, whenever I was little, my dad would say words like, what in the world are you saying? and one that sticks with me still today is he would say, ah, horse feathers. I'm sitting there thinking, horse don't have feathers. What's he talking about? But then whenever I became a parent, later on, I knew what he was talking about. I knew what he was doing. Because something would happen, and he would try to control that tongue. It still won't let something out, but he controlled what it let out. Because I would get mad at the kids whenever they were, especially 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, and getting a little mouthy. And I used the word cotton picking. Well, they made fun of me for that. And I'm like, well, do you want me to use other language? Do you want to hear me screaming and cussing at you? Or would you rather hear cotton picking? To this day, they still make fun of me. But now they've realized, with the little one, you got to watch what you say around them. They're picking up what we're talking about. My cousin, been 20 plus years ago, had a little 5-year-old. They were out in the boat fishing up off the coast of North Carolina. They were just in a small boat with back channels. There's a big boat come by. And of course, it rocked him, almost turned him over. Now, he didn't say a word. But his little son got up and said a few things, and he just felt embarrassed. He's there with his father-in-law and said, I couldn't say anything to him because he heard me say it too many times.
Wow.
You see, when you have kids, when you're around children, we hold our tongue, we watch what our tongue says. We don't want them to pick it up. But what about whenever we're out amongst other people, our age? Shouldn't we also bind our tongue in too?
If we have respect for, if we don't want this child to hear this, then think about this. You're at work, and you're hanging around these same people every day. They talk just the way worldly people talk. You start off trying to talk like you should talk. Eventually, what happens? They'll all start talking the same. So is it you? Are you going to mimic the way they talk and start using the language that they use? Or are they going to be drawn in and start using the language that you use? If we think about that, if we think about whenever we're around other people, when it's people that we work with, the people that we associate with all the time, we don't have a choice. We're standing there beside wherever you work at, and you're working with them every day. You have to be there. You have a job. Say, quit going to another job. And you use one language, and they use another language. You keep using your language and keep thinking about them as if you were around your child or your grandchild, and you're biting their tongue, and you do that, eventually, you may draw them into that kind of language as well. Too many times, we don't try to control our tongue when we're around other people. And we wind up blessing God here on Sunday morning and going out to work and talking just like everybody else does. Can you imagine that? The same tongue. And then there's some people say to you, what may say, well, you kiss your mom with that mouth? Y'all ever heard that one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, do you bless God with that mouth? No. But we need to have respect for other people just like they're a small child, just like they are God. Moving right along. So we think about how we talk to a small child. Now think about when we get hurt, angry, or scared, the most pleasant words don't come out of our mouth. When somebody cuts you off in traffic or makes you have to swerve your car and miss them, Brother Bob, we don't say God bless you. We should. Or maybe we should not say anything at all. But usually it's we call them something, and they probably deserve it. But we should. Think about how we come to church, praise God, and bless others through prayer, teaching, and songs with that same mouth.
Wow.
When someone makes us angry, hurts us, or scares us, we curse them. But yet we come to God, oh, bless you, Sister Becky. Praise God! Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! We start singing praises to God through that same mouth that just on the way to church we fussed at somebody because they cut us off, they were going too slow because we were going to be late for church or something. Or because they're sitting there on their phone at the red light. Oh, okay, it's turned green 15 minutes ago. You see, I call myself, I would be impatient with people. Go, people, go! I was in a hurry. I was in a church. I didn't say anything bad to them. My grandson. And we were sitting in the red light another time. Light turned green. I put it in here and started to go, and he's yelling, go, people, go! But think about that. All the way to church, we're fussing at these people because they've made us angry, they've hurt us, we've hurt
many of y'all ever did that? Oh, me. Hit your thumb with a hammer.
Oh, man.
Plenty of times, yeah. I thought you didn't even count that. And we do this, and then we come to church. Like I said, oh, bless you. Let's pray. Let's sing the Lord, hallelujah to God. That's what he's talking about here. Out of that same tongue, we bless God and curse someone else. Or we bless someone in church and curse someone on the road. And all the time, others are watching us. And they're moving right along. Think about how some people seem to have no filter between their brain and mouth. And say whatever crosses their mind. What do you usually think about those people? Have a loose skin. Whoa, where did that come from? You know that person that says, oh shit, oh sister, I love those glasses, they just don't look good on you. What? Sometimes you know the kind of people I'm talking about. Y'all all met them. They don't have a filter between here and here. They have zero control over their tongue. And you look at them as being, they're rude. They're kind of, I don't like talking to that person. Because they're going to say something offensive and they don't care. But what about, do we want to be that kind of person? No, we don't. I don't. I don't want to walk up to somebody and see that there's something wrong with the way they're dressed or whatever and blurt it out. Some people, and I know a few who have no filter. Like, wait a minute, you didn't need to say that. You need to stop and think about what you say before you open your mouth. Because whenever it comes out, just totally inappropriate and makes you look like a knucklehead. Now think about those who seem to always be talking about everything that they know nothing about. See, these are people who have no control over their tongue. It doesn't matter what the subject is, they're going to talk about it. Even if they've never driven a truck before, they will sit there and tell me everything they know about driving a truck. Oh, yeah, well, I've been doing it for 39 years. How long have you driven a truck? Oh, I don't happen to. I read a book on it. I saw it on Google. And then you deal with these people all the time. You see these people. They have no filter. They have no control over their tongue because whatever they think, they're going to talk about. Whatever the subject is, well, I don't know anything about that subject, but I'm going to sure put in my 2 cents worth. You see, they have no control over their tongue. We're talking about Mr. Foley back there playing golf. I can't talk about the only golf I've ever played is putt-putt. But I had to ask him, well, what is an eagle? What is a bogey? What is a birdie? I don't know anything about that. All I know is I hit the ball. Whenever I get in the cup, I count the number of that's it.
It's true.
So you see, I can't converse with him on that subject. I can't tell him anything about it because I know nothing about it. But I guarantee you, there's somebody out there who's never played golf a day in their life that will give him all kinds of instruction on it. You see that? Think about that. That kind of person. And these are the kind of people we don't want to be. And the only way we can be, not be this type of person, is we have to have a filter and we have to have control.
Amen.
We have to be able to buy our tongues, not only around our children, but around others. We have to think about what we say before we say it. Think about what you say before you say it. Words cannot be unspoken, and many times you may find it a good time to keep quiet. Oh, how hard is that to do? the deep end of it. And you know what? What is funny? At those times, I get God just shuts my mouth up. One person can't argue, can we? It takes two to argue. Shut my mouth up. And he says, you ain't going to say anything? You ain't going to sit over and be quiet? He says, I don't get it. Every time we have a disagreement, you just clam up and shut up and don't be. There's no argument, is it? And why is that? Why is it sometimes a good time to just be quiet? The one, it stops an argument.
Yeah.
Real quick. They can't accuse you of arguing with somebody. And what usually happens when you continue to argue with somebody? What happens? It escalates. It gets worse. You say things you don't mean. Your best friend is now your worst enemy. Then sometimes it gets physical. I had a young man one time. I was training him he was on probation where I was working at, and he was riding with me. My boss says, boss looked at me, and this is one of those who will argue with you no matter what, because he knew more than you did, even though he was 10 years younger. He's 10 years younger than me and been driving trucks as long as I have. I'm like, wait a minute, I started at 18. But anyway, my boss says, how come it is you're the only one to get along with him? I said, because I won't argue with him. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, these other drivers are bullheaded. He starts arguing with them. He disagrees whether he knows he's right or wrong. He'll argue with them. And then they'll argue back. And then they can't get along. Next thing you know, one of them's leaving the other one down in Montgomery, driving the truck back and saying, y'all can go get him. He ain't riding with you no more.
Wow.
They're about to come to blows. They're threatening to shoot each other. My boss said, how can you get along? I said, I'm not going to argue with him. I said, I say something. I give him some instruction. He'd argue back with me. That's it. I don't say another word. Let him argue with himself, argue with the steering wheel. Then eventually, he'll shut up. He'll think about it going down the road, and he'll come around and say, well, what do I need to do to change that? You ever had that happen? Sometimes, think about that. What you say, who you say, and sometimes it's just be quiet.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's controlling your tongue. I would try to give that young man correction on how to shift gears, because I mean, he was literally just about all front wheels off the ground every time he shifted gears. And we're not in the mix. And he fired right back at me. Well, every time you drive, you do this, blah, blah, blah. I just looked at him with a mom and I said, I've already got the job and you're on probation. That's it. I chose my words carefully. Now, do I do this all the time? Oh, no, Lord, no. There's times when I wish I could take this little muscle right here and just take it out tight and knot and shove it down my throat so that it doesn't ever talk again.
Yeah.
But, and I know y'all felt that way before, but why I just feel bad about what I just said. But the thing is I would let it go with that. I will choose my words carefully, say what needs to be said, and then go quiet. Let the other person ramble on and watch how it comes to the end. You understand? Just watch it come to the end, and watch them turn around and say, and I've even had to do this with my grandson. He'd get mad, being belligerent or whatever. I'm saying another word. And he'll come back and say, I'm sorry, Papa. I just get frustrated and angry. Okay. And I tell him, you know, like when he was learning the type of shoes. I say, look, you need to learn how to tie your shoes. I can't do it. Okay. I won't show you heaven. I just ask you. I just want you to try. Now, read this little Philip and said, he didn't want to get more trial. And he finished with his house to be tied. Tied you. See, he did. He says, well, I guess I just didn't have confidence in myself to be able to do it. I said, I have confidence in you.
Amen.
I'm not going to sit there and scream and yell at a child that doesn't make them to try to do something or make them try something. We all have to do that. But if we think about how we treat other people, other brothers, if we treat them as if I'm looking dead at you, I'm looking at the face of God. I'm not going to talk to you or you. It says we were made in God's image. And he's talking about here back in that 10th verse. Don't pardon. In that verse, but we were made in God's image. Every one of you is made in God's image.
Yes, amen.
So I look at you and see, I'm talking to Brother Darrell, or I'm talking to the image of God.
Amen.
Does that change the way you look at someone? That person's made in the image of God. I look at you.
Yeah, that's good.
I see my Lord, my Heavenly Father. I see my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in you. When I look on you, and every one of us may look different, but we're made in the image of God. I don't look like a godly person. I don't look like I should even consider myself God, but I'm still made in God's image.
Amen.
And when you look at me, whenever I look at you, I see the image of God, the spit image of God. So, it's such a hard thing to control. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 4. But in a time when so many are disputing with each other and dividing in every way possible, people need to know that God loves them, and so do we.
Yes.
So do I. This is a time for all Christians to show the love of our Heavenly Father to a world that desperately needs a giant hug.
Wow. Amen.
Think about that in today's society. Well, the words that we use can either encourage or discourage.
Yes.
Your words can build up or tear down. Your words can show love or hate. You know what? If Sister Cheryl was to look at me and she says, I hate you, I know she didn't mean it. Because I know that she loves me. And I know that she doesn't hate me. And I know. And you know, see what I'm saying? The words we use and how we use them. Even though I can sit there and Brother Darrell tell someone, I love you. And they don't feel love out of them. They feel hate out of them. And whenever you sit there and say, you know what, I hate you. And you know, oh boy, he loved me. You see, it's not only the words that we use, but how we use them and what we use them for. We can tear people down. We can build people up. We can discourage them. We can encourage them. You know, one time whenever I was a bit younger, my nephew was playing on a baseball team. And if ever I could have shoved a sock in someone's mouth, it would have been one of the kids' mom there. She was sitting right behind home plate. And every time her son come up to bat, strike one. Oh yeah, you make me real proud. Wow. Wait a minute, that's your son. And so, oh, you're an embarrassment.
Mom.
What? Yeah. One of his teammates, every time he got up, his mom ended up putting him down. Everybody in the park can hear it. That's a little bit.
Put some earplugs in for you.
But you know what I did, Sister Cheryl? I stood right over behind the backstop. And I'm like, come on, you can hit the ball. Hey, that's just one strike. You just showed you ain't afraid of it. Swing the next one. You're going to get it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Before all, the parents on both sides were screaming for this kid to come on. The mom said, what? But you see, everybody, even like I said, even the opposing team, where this kid got up the bat, I would be back there, come on, you can do it, you got it this time. You let him strike out last time, but you got it this time. And your kid got hit. And both sides were cheering for the kid.
Wow.
But his mom was in the parish.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. The words that we use, even to our own children, to our grandchildren, are important.
Amen.
The words we use to each other.
Yes.
And we need to look at other people, other adults, as a child and as the face of God. When we talk to them. And you know what? If we think about that, this little muscle right here,
yes.
We can at least bring it under control enough to where it's not going to bite us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to bite anybody else. You see, if we think about that verse right there that says, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. There's no separation.
Amen.
If you love God, then you have to love others. And if you have to love others, then you need to control your tongue and think about what you say before you speak and choose your words wisely. Because with the tongue, we can build up, we can tear down, we can encourage, we can discourage, we can show love, and we can show hate. And I want to leave you with this, so I'm closing. And I went a little over today. I'm usually this long, but talk to others as if you were talking to God or a small child. And you'll choose your words wisely. You'll choose your words carefully. And sometimes you may choose to use no words at all.
Mm-hmm. And
that's how we control it. And this is what we need in our world today. The devil has got people fighting and arguing and fussing over every little thing. Wear the mask, don't wear the mask. Get the vaccine, don't get the vaccine. Republican or Democrat. Do this, don't do this. Do that, don't do that. It's dividing our country.
Amen.
And what our world needs today, not just our country, the whole world needs. There's an old song that was around when I was a kid, said, what the world needs now is love, sweet love.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
It's the simple thing. Mm-hmm. It's just do good enough. God is love. If you love God, love your brother. If you love your brother, show it. Yeah. Through words, through actions.
That's about something.
You know what? Brother, I haven't thought about this. I can take you tell me you need to borrow a couple of dollars. Here, just take it. Jesus, is that helping somebody? That's not helping them out. But is it showing them love? No. But it would be more like, you know, the man.
Amen.
And I'm guilty of that. Because I have so many people approach me and say, I need money for this a lot.
That's your heart, brother.
Here, just take it. Do away. I'm going to talk to you. Wow. I give them what they're needing, but I don't give them what they're needing. They're in need of money, but they're in more need.
Yes.
Of, thank you. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen.
You see? We can say we love someone, show them hatred, do that through our very words. I said I was going to end, but I won't. Says talk to others as if you were talking to God or a small child. And think before you speak and choose your words very well. We're going to get something. We're going to turn it over to the program there. This is something that I've had to work on this week because I've had my
532 at the bottom.
Now 9-year-old grandson all week has been had to challenge time. But we had a great time. So think about what you say every time. Who you're talking to, and how your words can make a difference.